So many things matter. Many things matter. We've seen signs all over, everywhere for many months about things that matter. But my concern is, but what matters to God? What matters to God? Especially what matters to God in respect to his people. That would be us, collectively, and us in other places where we gather. What matters to him? And also, what draws us together? What unifies, we are singing about that as well, what unifies us, especially as his people? While everything else seeks to divide us, tear us apart, render us apart, that's a good Hebrew word, rendering your garment. What tears us apart, but what brings us together is more important. I want to get to that in a second, but I really would like to lay out a whole case of where we're going. And perhaps you can identify with some of this, and if you haven't verbalized it, but you feel it, you sense it, you've certainly experienced it in certain ways. So what I want to say, now listen to me when first of all, very first thing, the way we see things matters. The way we see things matters. What I see, what you see, perhaps what you see right now looks kind of pathetic, but what you see, okay, matters. What we see versus what they see, whoever the they is, okay? I suppose you could say also then how accurately we see things is the real issue. How accurately we see them. Again, you could say, well, the argument is actually more than accuracy, it's all about perspective. It's all about perspective. So you've got way, you've got accuracy, you've got perspective. Which really matters? Which really matters? That's the question. So I was thinking about how do I describe it? And I thought, well, one way to redeem the situation I'm in is the fact that I have double vision. I have double vision. So what is double vision? Well, what I have, and it's all because of PML. I used to be able to not have to wear glasses, but I do now. But I have what are called prism glasses. If anybody knows what prism glasses are, if you have them, it's kind of like, at least for me, this eye has a prism on it that really gives what this eye is seeing. Okay, with what it sees. So, there it goes. See, I'm gonna put this down, but I don't have a thing. Okay, just stand right there, Joe, and I'm good. So there we go. So with that, as he puts this on carefully, and Joe, you're wonderful. Sometime I'll bring you on the road with me. Okay. kidding. It's like this. What prism glasses do is that if I am with my glasses on right now, looking at all of you, I put my hand out. I see one hand. If I don't have my glasses on, you want to know what I see? I see this. Two hands. Not like this, okay, but like this. Okay, so talk about messed up vision. Without prism glasses, it's messed up. So if my glasses fall off, somebody get my glasses, okay? And I'm using that as an example because I really need these glasses on to be able to see so that the right eye and the left eye align, so that the vertical and the horizontal, there I just blessed you, okay, is there for you to be able to see. That's what we need to be able to have good sight. So that's kind of the example. So if you can think about that as we go ahead, that's what I want to say. However, I'm looking around at some of you, at least that I can see, excuse the pun, is some of you are wearing glasses, which is, bless you. Some of you are probably wearing contacts. Anybody that wants to admit to it, are you wearing contacts? Anyone? There. Nice. Now, if my glasses dropped right now and you ran up and said, here, use my contacts, how well would that work? Or if one of you ran up with your glasses and gave them to me, how well would that work? Sometimes I would go like, man, you are blind as a bat, aren't you? Anyhow, that's kind of what happens, because one size doesn't fit all. One size doesn't fit all. Say that with me. One size doesn't fit all. Guess what? Words are the same way. Words are the same way. And so frequently we're going back and we're throwing a word back and forth and back and forth as if it was the same thing. So it's like throwing glasses back and forth at each other. And so what we're saying is, you know, I see it one way and you see it the other, or you don't even acknowledge the other person sees it the other way. It's just that you don't see what I see, because I want you to see what I see, but you don't see what I see with the same word, okay? And that's a difficulty. So I got thinking about that, and I started writing a list down, a list that's probably months old now, but I keep adding to it each way, each time. Thank you, brother. Each time. So what I want to do is this. I want to just, while you're here, I'm going to list some words. Don't write them down, but just think internally what that word means to you, okay? Just that, I mean, you do your own interaction with it. And by the way, I will not go what would be called political. There's no subliminal political message in anything that I'm dealing with here, okay, at all. But it just helps. These are words that I started to notice over time. A good one, we already used it, is the word mask. If you say mask, think about what it means. Are you talking an N95? Are you talking about the blue mask, that kind, the disposable kind, whatever? Oh, are you meaning a bandana? Are you meaning pull your sweater up over your face? See, what is mask? What does that mean? Or if I were to say COVID, you think, oh, COVID, okay. A case, are we talking about a case? Are we talking about someone who tests positive? Are we talking about a case? However, that's defined. Climate change is a nice phrase. Do you mean global warming, or do you mean weather changes? Or if you say America, do you mean nation or land? American, are you talking a citizen or a patriot? I love this one. If I say alien, extraterrestrial, okay? Or are you talking about a foreign national? A non-citizen. Immigrant is a word we use a lot. Do you mean immigrant is a resident alien or a refugee? An illegal alien, an asylum seeker or illegal immigrant? If someone were to say man, do they mean humanity or male? Critical race theory is just popping up all over the place. Are we talking about racism, or are we talking about identity-based Marxism? Unity, yes. In fact, we desire unity here, and we have scripture to what's calling us to that, but for some people, unity, are we talking about consensus or conformity? Justice, are we talking about equity or equality? Here's a word that comes up at times, homosexual. Is we thinking orientation? We thinking lifestyle? We thinking identity? Or if you were to say Christian, what do you mean by that? You mean, are you talking about a religious affiliation or are you talking about identity? Evangelical, these days, question. You're thinking Christian or conservative? Christian or conservative, or gospel, there's one. Do you mean the story of salvation or the formula for salvation? And then I gotta throw this in for no extra charge. I just love it because I'm from away, wicked. Wicked. Now, when I was young, from Central New York State, that meant bad. That meant possibly evil. I get here, and guess what wicked means? very, like, it's very, you know, very good, wicked good, or wicked awesome. There's a weird phrase, but it, I've used it, that kind of thing. So you see what I mean about the confusion? I've been taking it intentionally a long time because these are the kind of things that goes on between people, and then we get talking about things and we have a difficulty. And then when there's an issue or a construct or some kind of system, are we aware of the particular word we're using, what it means to the other person? Do we even know? We know what it means to us. Do we know what it means to them? And are we aware of it? Certain lives matter. Guess what? I'm going to say something pretty radical. Words matter, too. Words matter. Democracy means to some the same as white power or privilege. Free market means to some, it's an exclusive club. Capitalism may mean systemic oppression. One talks about principle, the other talks about experience. One speaks of a concept, the other talks about their own personal life. And a rift intensifies, it gets wider and wider and wider and wider. And there we are as Christians, right smack in the middle of it. So what are we to do as a church? At this church, all the time, we need to be considering how we see words, how God sees us, how God sees all of us, how God sees you, each individual person. So what draws us together then? And we can come and say, well, this is great. There's great worship here. People love us here. The pastor, well, you know, I love Greg. I love Joe. It's wonderful. We're all in this to advance things. But what draws us together? So I put it in a simple sentence. It's this way. What draws us together, it is God who draws us together. We are drawn together by God, and we're unified by his Spirit through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Say it again. We're drawn together by God and unified by his Spirit through faith in his Son, okay, Jesus Christ. That's how, if I do it by phrases, could you just respond so I'm making sure that I'm drawing you in? Okay, so we are drawn together by God, and unified by his Spirit. Through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. So, what do you think? How's that working for you? How well are we doing with that? Ah, there's the rub. So, all of this to ask one kind of question, and it's this. What's the greatest commandment found in the Bible? Some of you may already know it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself is in there. What I'm talking about is Mark 12, 30 through 31. That's in a sense what I'm going to be preaching from, is that text, which I have looked at so many times, and it's like, okay, I got it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You see that kind of thing? But what are we talking about here? So what is the greatest commandment? We've got that. So we quote it, but do we live it? Do we actually do it is the big question for us, for you, for me. And by the way, I'm in all of this with you. So in the world today, with all the things going on, all the craziness going on, and I will say craziness, everyone is critical. Everyone seems all hyped up. Everyone's got an opinion. And you better go along with their opinion, because if you don't, you slam them back with your opinion, okay? That kind of thing. And so as a result, this great divide happens between brothers and sisters in Christ, even. And I know that's what a lot of brothers that I interact with, pastors that I interact with, struggle with. They're people. First of all, they're like, do I know where my people are? There was a lot of that through COVID. Who knows where they are? Can they zoom in? Can they get to me? And when they do come, What are they going to be like after so many months? Where are they going to be? How do we come together in that kind of a situation? And what I'm seeing among the churches and among Christian churches, trends, things like facts don't matter, opinions do. Right is right and wrong is wrong, that kind of thing. Talk much, listen a little. Anger first, understand last. Truth is before justice. Justice is without truth. Grace is privileged. Mercy is merited. Love is without sacrifice. In the church, sometimes. Sacrifice is without love. I could go on with that kind of stuff. Maybe some of that even resonates to some of you. So as these restrictions have been lifted and then they closed down, it was up and down, what are we doing as believers? And so I'm hearing questions all over in the different churches, and again, you've probably had some of them here. Should we or should we not gather without masks? Should we or should we not all get vaccinated? Do we or do we not obey government authorities? Again, we have the Word of God that addresses that, which Joe was just talking about. But are we free or are we not free as citizens? Should we or should we not cooperate with those who hold different values? Even all of that going on, who's right, who's wrong, who's to the right, who's to the left? I have to do it in verse, okay? Who's to the right and who's to the left? Who is red and who's blue? You know what I'm talking about, that kind of thing? Somebody say yes. Okay, good. I just want to make sure they were like, when is this guy going to be done? Okay, so, okay, with all of that, this is not an easy time, right? Not an easy time at all into which we are born. It's not easy. How many, probably, I'm not asking for hands here. How many of you said, to be born in a time like this? I remember when it was better than this right now, kind of thing. Well, here's what God says for such a time as this. You were born. For such a time as this. In fact, even as I walked in here, which I still don't call it walking, but as I came in here, I was thinking, Lord, why am I here now? And it's extremely humbling, but I'm like, okay, that's why I'm here. That's good. You are here for such a time as this. The church is here for such a time as this. In fact, through every generation of churches, each church is there for the season that they're in because God has put them there. You are here today because God, a long time ago, said, I want you guys here. Okay? That is a thing of God. It really is. So what I want to give you as we get this, as I lay this out, we remember, first of all, that we are drawn together not by the awesomeness of an individual or a team, but we're drawn together by God. He himself draws us together. We're united through faith, unified by his Spirit, rather, by his Spirit, Holy Spirit, through faith in, there it goes again, through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. So let me give you 10 asks, okay? And I'm going to try to not move around too much so that this thing doesn't go off my ear. So basically, let me suggest you 10 asks. By the way, you don't have to write these down. I'd rather have you write down one that really hits you, because maybe that's what God wants you to hear at all, okay? So these are 10 asks. Here's one. And by the way, as I give these, I think of me as well, okay? So if you're going to interact with someone else, especially a brother or sister in Christ, you need to ask, am I reacting or am I responding? There's a lot of reaction going on around us, right? Reactions everywhere. But the question is, for me, am I reacting or am I responding? And they're different. Another one is, do I listen before I speak? Maybe you could put it in the context of, am I listening or am I loading up my cannon to let it go when I get a chance? Another one is, am I understanding only a verse or do I consider the context, the whole context of that verse? That matters very much. As you're interacting with someone, and let's just say it's getting a little heated, of course, I know you're all Christians, so that never happens to you, right? So as you are in that place, starting to build, you got to ask yourself the question, is this really about winning or losing? Or is this about something else? You got to listen to the Spirit when that's happening. Another one is, what value am I giving to the person who is opposing me? There's that other person who, say, totally disagrees or is coming at me with their strong opinions. What kind of value am I placing upon them that is there? And this one just hits the core of me. As I'm interacting with others, is my attitude in check? Do you know what I mean? Like, you know how it is when you're coming to church and you've just had an argument in the car with the kids to be quiet, or you've already gone through lost socks and shoes at the last minute, or husband and wife are just not in the same place and you come in smiling, but inwardly, oh, I've got a bad tude, you know, my attitude's terrible. Is it in check? That's a good question. How much is really about me versus about them? Or am I seeking to love God more intimately through this struggle that I'm in with the other individual? You could add to those any of your own, and I just would say, definitely, I would ask this question, am I bringing all of this to God in prayer? Now, I'm not talking about being a nice Christian. I'm just saying, if you really want to be present for others in the way that God wants you to be present, you need to be praying, period. Those are 10 asks. Ask them as you're entering into the world around, we need to here, as we are around the world around us, we all need to be asking these questions as we're out there. You need to be asking these questions as you are engaging whoever it is that you're engaging, okay? So I also want to give you two don'ts. Two don'ts. And the first one is this, don't be blind. Can you say that? Don't be blind. Don't say to them, oh, you're blind as a bat. That doesn't work, I've found out, okay? But don't be blind. See, you can't see without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? You can't see without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't be blind. Do you have a sold out faith? I'm not talking about, I believe. I'm talking about belief that becomes action. In fact, belief and action is called faith. Did you know that? It's that kind of a thing. It's that kind of seriousness. A lot of people believe a lot of things, and as we know, they don't act on it. We have what's called many times hypocrisy. Oh, I believe this. And then you find them somewhere else doing that. You see, this is another ask. Do you understand? Anybody relate to that? Okay, so don't be blind. And the second don't is don't be double-visioned. You know, truthfully, some of you are blind here in the spiritual sense. And only you and God know about that. But also, some of you are double-visioned. Now, if I say, don't be double-visioned, say it. Don't be double-visioned. Okay, so with that, I guess I can say pretty honestly, because I've already proved it to you, I have double vision, okay? But you can't see without lenses. Metaphorically, do you have your glasses on? Do you wear them in a public arena, wherever you go? You got your glasses on? Do you see what I'm saying? That kind of thing. Okay, so with that then, rather than the great divide, why don't we consider the greatest commandment? The big do. This is the big do. God has told us what to do. God has told Rick what to do. God has told each one of you what to do. And I could paraphrase it this way, love with lenses on. Love with lenses on. What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Say that with me. With me. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all of your mind, and with all your strength. In everyday situation, you find yourself, wherever you're living, wherever you're working, whoever you run into, that's what you're supposed to be doing. In all of your activities, love your neighbor as yourself. We're talking about in everyday life. Everywhere you are, whatever you're doing, in all of your circumstances. I almost wish I could ask for a collective moan, because that's tough. Is it tough? Yeah. Anybody got some neighbors that you wish would sell and move? Okay. At the same time, they're wishing you would move. Okay. But we're drawn together by God. We're unified by His Spirit through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And in the end, and this is my wrap-up, okay? Hear this. It all boils down to this. It all boils down to you and me in Christ Jesus. Period. It all boils down to that. We're all drawn together by God. We're unified through His Spirit, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So are you, by faith, in Christ? Or more importantly, is Christ in you? Again, that's another whole sermon, but I plead with you. I know in my situation when PML happened and they were saying 6 months, that certainly brought into focus my faith, okay? It really did, and it was by God's grace, as I've said in prayers of many, that I'm here. But that's His call, not mine, not the church's, not anyone. It's His call. But knowing that the faith that I have is real, it's tangible, it's something I have owned for a long time, significantly helped me in my circumstances, which I had no plan for. In fact, I felt God was calling me into a different ministry. So this too. So for you, where you're at right now, whatever it is, please, I plead with you, take time, sit on a rock anywhere alone and just say, where am I with Jesus? Where am I? Am I willing to? Now, I'm not talking about just believe. I'm talking about believe such that I'm willing to change my whole life around that belief and act like I am. And if you are a Christian, more importantly, is Christ in you? Yeah. What is your response? Christian, follower of Jesus Christ, disciple of Christ, what is your response to this dilemma, this great divide going on all around us and maybe even within your own family? Lord, help you at Thanksgiving time. You know what I'm saying? What's your response to that? Truly, and I mean that seriously. And then one final ask of you, or a question for you. As you go this week, I want to just have you say, like, consider this. What is your response going to be to close that divide? I guarantee you God's going to give you opportunity upon opportunity upon opportunity. It may be before you even step out of the church, honestly. Or it may be Thursday. It'll be that moment you're going like, wow, this is the great divide. So because of Christ in me, I'm going to respond this way.